We're glad to have our visitors with us here this morning, and we're excited when people come to visit us, and we thank y'all for coming. And you said you're a pastor? Oh, from Pennsylvania. Oh, okay. All right. And so they've come by to visit us, and we always welcome visitors. And I'm glad you all have, even though you're out on vacation, you're a good example to us. I thank you. Out on vacation down here for the Ark, they're in church. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to go ahead and get right into the lesson. We'll open up in prayer. And then Brother Cleo is going to come. If you'll open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to open up your Bibles there. And Brother Cleo is going to come, and he's going to read those 14 verses for us. And then I'm going to give you some things as I went along, and as I begin to notice and I begin to look at some things here in that portion of Scripture that I wanted to point out with you. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, you all kind of see where I'm going with all of this. And I just want to be an encouragement to us today. But let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. We thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing for us. Lord, we thank you for the van that you have allowed our church to purchase. And Father, I just pray now, Lord, that soon we'd be able to get that van out. And Lord, we'd be able to begin to pick up children for you. And Lord, I pray for your will to be done there. And Father, I pray that you would begin to work on the souls, Lord, that will stop by and will invite to church. And Lord, I pray that you would just guide and direct in that. And Father, I thank you for each and every one that has come this morning, come to Sunday school. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us today as we look at the Word of God, as we look at the things of God. Father, that we would follow you. Lord, that we would be examples. And Father, that we would guide and direct in others. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. We pray now that you be with those that are still traveling. Coming home from vacation, Lord, I think of Sister Sandy. Lord, I pray that you would be with her and the girls. Lord, I pray that you'd watch over them and take care of them and keep them safe. And Lord, I know Brother Jason's traveling this weekend, Lord, to visit his father and getting to visit with his brother. Lord, I pray that that time would be enjoyable for them. And Lord, I just pray that you would bring our church family back home safely. And Lord, we do thank you for those who have come to visit us today. And Lord, we pray that you would watch over them and deliver them back to their home and their church safely, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. And Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen. All right, Brother Cleo.
The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you, all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Cleo. And I just kind of want to take, and as I was reading this chapter this morning, God just kind of showed me some things here. And as a desire for our church, I want to encourage those that are here today, and especially those members of our church. And for those of you who are visiting, I'm not sure what part you all have in your home church, but just want to encourage you to have a part in your home church. And so I wanted to kind of go through the scriptures here in light of what we're doing here as we you know, the Lord has allowed us to purchase a van, and we already have an apartment complex that is willing to allow us to have a backyard Bible club in the apartment complex, and then with hopes and prayers with that, being able to begin to bring children into the church. And in order to do all of these things, in order for all of these things to fall into, I shouldn't say fall, because that kind of leaves the ideal of this was not planned and it's just something that we hope that will come about and take place. But it's not. It's been planned. First of all, it's planned by God Himself. And secondly, it's been something that I have really prayed about. And many of you all have prayed about. And in order for all of these things to come about and to be where we need to do, what we need to do is we need some elders here in the church. And when I use that word, I'm not talking about, and even here in the scriptures, it's not talking about just the preachers or the pastors. It's talking about those who have experience and in the past have done things for the Lord Jesus Christ or are doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. We currently now have one Sunday school class, let me back up on that. We have three when we have nursery children, we have another class for children from 3 years old to 11 years old, and then we have the youth department. And I would really, really would like to divide that up smaller, and eventually we will need to do that as we go along. And you say, well, why are you explaining this to us up here in the adult Sunday school? Well, because here in the adult Sunday school class is where we're going to get the adult Sunday school teachers that will go down and be a part in teaching a Sunday school class. And I've shared with you all many, many times in my testimony growing up in church of the men when I was a junior age boy that invested in my life and took time with me and taught me the Word of God, not only from the Bible, but also from their own personal life, watching them and seeing that they were men, godly men, and loved the Lord. And I thank the Lord for that. And even the ladies, in my life as a young boy, the influence and the knowledge that I received because they took the time and unselfishly took the time. And I'm sure, and we all understand this, I'm sure there were probably times where they thought, well, I'd rather not do this today. There were probably times that they thought, well, this is more than what I bargained for, and especially when they were dealing with me. I was one of those lovely children that ask a lot of questions, and if I wasn't asking questions, I was getting into trouble. But a lot of sacrifice, a lot of time, and the benefits of it is seeing children grow up, do likewise, and then even begin to carry on the gospel more. The thing that really burdens me as I look, and today we don't see many young people, surrendering for the ministry. We don't see many young people surrendering to be pastors. Our Bible colleges are becoming more places for secular training. And now I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But our Bible colleges are becoming more about secular training than they are about training young men and young ladies for the gospel ministry. And you say, well, why is that? What's wrong with these Bible schools? Well, it's not the Bible school. It goes all the way back to the church. And the training must start here. The training must start in the nursery and move its way up in order for it to flourish and become very important. And so as I as this these thoughts and these things have been on my mind for quite some time, and I really believe with all my heart, church, it is time for us to move to the next level and move forward and get some get other things accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, we're going to need everybody doing their part. You say, well, you know, but, you know, I'm just a big toe in the church, you know. Well, praise the Lord, we need big toes. You know, actually, big toes gives the whole body stability. If you chop off your big toes or the toes on your feet, you have to learn how to walk again. Because it's the toes that give stability. You say, well, you know, okay, now I understand, see what you're getting at. So yes, we even need the big toes. You know, even though you're covered up by the socks and the shoes and nobody can see you, we still need your help and we need your input. And so let's just kind of go through, and I'm going to share with you this morning what God gave me here out of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, and in verse number 1, we'll start there, and we're just going to go verse by verse. We'll go down here, and we'll look at some things, and I'll just share my heart with you. The Bible says, the elders which are among you, I exhort. And now, that lets us know who Peter is talking about. He's talking about the elders, the people who are saved, born again in the church, and he says, whom am I also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And as I got to thinking about that verse, and I got to thinking, okay, you know, Peter, what are you talking about here? What are you trying to get across to the people that you directly and very pointedly pointed out? And again, that's why, you know, I believe this is so important in the adult Sunday school class. The elders here, as I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about the elders in here, you know, basically what that means, we've been there and done that. And it's people that have experience at one point or another that you've been a teacher, that you've been a bus worker, or you've had some part in the gospel ministry in moving the gospel on. And that's who Peter's talking about here, and that's who Peter is talking to. Those who have prior experience. You know, it's really not good for those who have prior experience to not share that prior experience. So we'll go on here, and then the command that in verse number 2, or the thing that he stresses in verse number 2 to the elders, to the people that he's talking to, he said, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you." Now, what Peter tells the elders here is you have a job and a responsibility. The knowledge that you have been given has not been given to you to store and not use. But you know, that is the tendency that we do. For example, and I thank God for your faithfulness. I'm glad you're here this morning. And many of you will be back tonight. And I'm glad about that. I'm excited about that. But you know, when you come to church, why'd you come? Now, sometimes what happens is we come to church because, well, it's just the right thing to do. And again, it becomes habit to us. And those are not bad things. Those are right things. Those are good things. And I hope these are habits and things in your life. But why did you come? You know, and as you study the Word of God, why are you studying the Word of God? If you study the Word of God and don't use, or you come to Sunday school or church, and because what church is preparing you to go out into the mission field and to serve and to work. And to share and use the things and the tools that you get. Church is about equipping Christians to go out and preach and teach the gospel. And so Peter says here to them, he says, feed the flock. Pass the past experience on how to do it. How are we going to expect the younger generation to come up and take the reins and be able to run the church of God the way the Word of God wants us to be run, and if the people who have already been there and done that are not using their experiences and their time in the ministry and to pass it on and feed the flock? Well, feed the flock. Why do we need to feed the flock? Well, if we don't feed the flock starves and dies off. And when the flock starves and dies off, you wind up with closed churches. You wind up with no Sunday school classes. You wind up with no bus ministries. You know, it's been talked about a lot, you know. And again, this is not just a problem here at Faith Independent Baptist Church. It's a problem of independent Baptist churches across America. Lack of a bus ministry. Why did the bus ministry fail? Well, some people say, well, it failed because of cable TV. Well, at that time when cable TV came in, I will honestly say it hindered a great deal. Because now kids and even church members can stay up for all hours of the night watching television, where I remember as a child, after the 11 o'clock news, all you got on the television was static. And nothing else. And really, Christians in our homes, you know, I'm just kind of throwing this out there for you. That's what needs to be on your television. It is static. And I'm not talking about our candidates fighting back and forth static. I'm talking about, you know, the switch turn it off. But did it hinder the bus ministry? Yes, it did. But it's not what stopped the bus ministry in churches. You say, well, children aren't the same as they were then. No, they're not. Is the bus ministry more difficult than what it was before? Yes, it is. And do you have to do things differently than what you did before? Yes, we will. But that's not the reason churches across America don't have bus ministries anymore. The reason churches across America don't have bus ministries anymore, because the elders quit. First of all, the elders quit teaching the younger how to do it. The elders of the church quit preparing that younger group. And see, this is what Peter's trying to get across to the elders of the church. You need to make sure that you're training your replacement. Feed the flock. And see, he's talking about the flock of God. He's not talking about the lost. He's talking about those who sit around you, those whom you come in contact with as a church. Share your experience. Share the things that you have, so that one day Wayne and Cleo will be wonderful Sunday school teachers. And I'm getting their attention. And how are they going to get that experience? How are they going to get that knowledge? How are they going to get that know-how and ability? They're going to get it from you men who've already been there and done that. And the same for you ladies. But the thing Peter says here is feed the flock, which is among you, taking the oversight. You know what that means? Taking charge. Not as condescending and belittling, but taking the initiative to do the job which God has and sharing the things which God has given you. And again, it explains it not by constraint. So we're not there to lord over them and to belittle them, because what will happen is the person you're trying to teach, I guarantee you, once you start belittling and once you start putting on constraint, what they're going to do is they're going to fight. And they're going to get discouraged and they're going to quit. It says, not by constraint, but by willingly. And then, of course, not for filthy lucre. We don't have to worry about that, folks, because those of you who are experienced teachers going to teach someone else, we're not going to pay you anyway. So we don't have to worry about the money part of filthy lucre. But you know, what we do have to worry about that fits in this category is your time. You know, I believe one of the reasons why teachers are not training teachers and elders are not training the people and before them is because they're more worried about their time and selfish of the time and not taking the time to do it. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to teach someone to do something you're doing. I mean, you all understand that, your children. It's easier for you to just go ahead and do it than it is to instruct them on how to do it and see to it by further instruction that they do the job the way the job is supposed to be done. And so what that does is it takes time, and really, honestly, sometimes it's just a very hard thing. But it says, not of constraint, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You determining in your heart and your mind, there's a job that needs to be done, and to the glory of God, what I'm going to do, I'm determined that it's going to get done. I'm determined that we're going to do it. And then verse number 3, it says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Again, it's very clear here. Peter's very clear. Our job is not to lord over. Our job is not to go around, and that word lord is to be their master, their taskmaster, and just whoop up on them if they don't do it right. No, that's not what he's saying here. He said, but by being in samples. Now that's a little bit different than example. In sample. What he's talking about there is by who you really are. You know, dealing with young people and even children, it's very hard to pull off insincerity. A child and a young person knows whether you really care or not. You can fool me, you know, and you can pretend to like me but really not like me, and I may not catch it. But children and young people are a lot more sensitive, and they're a lot more in key to whether you really mean it or not, or whether you really care or not, or whether you've really prepared or not. And so the Bible says, Peter said here, neither being lords of God's heritage. And again, of God's heritage, what the people that invested in you and got you to where you were as a teacher, what is that? That's a heritage. That's something that was passed down from one person to you. And he says, don't be lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Verse number 4, and when the chief priest shall appear. And that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know what Peter's saying here? There's a reward for faithfulness. There's a reward for passing on what you have. There's a crown of glory to be earned. Now, I guarantee you, you probably won't see a whole lot of it this side of glory. You probably won't. Because being a minister sometimes is a very thankless job. Sometimes it can be a very lonely job. And I do thank the Lord. You guys are very good at making your pastor feel wanted and not feel neglected. And I thank you for that. But what we need to be careful is understanding when it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. What it's saying is, you may not see it until Jesus comes. You know, we will never really understand the full extent of everything that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes. That's what He's saying here. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so we're going to have to wait. So verse number 5 says, likewise, ye younger. All right? Now He's done addressing the older. Now, for those of you who are in here are younger, and we don't have a whole lot, but now that may not necessarily be younger in age, but that might be younger in your spiritual growth to the Lord Jesus Christ, and your service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know how you learn? By listening, by following instructions, by putting yourself under the elder. I'll give you a good experience, or a good example of that. When I was went and for a short time here, drove, and actually even in Milford when I drove the school bus. I've had a commercial driver's license since I've been 18 years old. I started driving a church bus when I was, don't listen on the camera, 17 years old, because my bus driver quit and didn't show up. And I was determined that my children were going to come to Sunday school. And so I was the only one there. And I told my bus director said, just go on into the church. Your driver quit. And so we can't pick up the kids today. And I told him, I said, well, I can operate this vehicle. He said, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. And he walked away. I sat in the driver's seat, and off and down the road I went, and continued driving. Now, again, I realize that was wrong and probably shouldn't have done that, but I was 17 years old. I wanted to make sure my children, that I knocked on their door and visited. I didn't want that bus not to go. I didn't want that bus not to show up. I couldn't get it out of my mind thinking those kids were sitting on the side of the road waiting for my bus to come and never show. But how's the best way to learn? Younger, submit yourself unto the elder. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to be patient. Oh, the example I was getting at, what wasn't me driving a bus illegally, is... all of the experience that I've had driving a bus for many, 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 many years, well over 30 years, when I went to Milford, they had their school bus training. Then when I went to Kenton County here in Kentucky, they had their school bus training. You know how difficult it is to sit in 6 hours of class and 9 hours of driving instruction? When you've spent over 30 years doing it? Well, believe you me, many times, forgive me, it went through my mind, I'm tired of hearing this. I know what I'm supposed to do. But you know what I did? I listened and pretended like I didn't know anything. Because what I was doing is I was submitting to the elder. I was allowing the instructor to guide me and show me, even though I know the information. Those of you who have teens or even young children, and you start to give them instructions, what's the first thing come out of their mouth? I know. I know. I know. Before you even get finished, I know. I know. I know. Now, I know our young people back there don't do anything like that. But, you know, it's I know. Well, no, they don't know. But again, what they're saying is, hey, I am not willing to submit at this particular time on that particular thing that you're telling me about. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend like I know. And so that's what it's saying here. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know, our teachers, our future teachers and bus workers, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to submit yourself. You're going to have to be willing to take instruction from the one who's giving you instruction, even if you know. Listen anyway, because you know what I've learned? Even though I had driving experience, even though I had driven a school bus for Milford, even though for Kenton County, I did not need to know how to drive that bus, there were still some things I learned. You know how I learned that and learned what they had to tell me? It's by submitting to what they had to say. And so that Peter changes his instructions from the elders. He says, okay, elders, this is what you're supposed to do. Younger, now this is what you're supposed to do. Submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Now, what he's doing is he addresses the elders and the youngers. Because if the elder and the younger don't work together, nothing gets done. Nothing gets accomplished. And so he says, submit yourselves one to another. Taking time, listening, instructing. Instructors, listen to what the younger have to say. Because they might have a viewpoint that you're not thinking about. And so be a listener, subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. And what we've got to be willing to do is we got to be willing to humble ourselves. You know, that's probably each and every one of us in here this morning. That is our biggest struggle. Humility. No one likes to be wrong. I hate being wrong. I really do. And when I am wrong, it just kind of raises the hair up on the back of my neck. And it's the last thing that I want to do is say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. You know, those words really come very hard out of our mouth. But what is humility? It says, with humility. Being willing to admit you don't know everything. Being willing to admit that you're wrong. And again, when we're clothed, it says clothed with humility. From the tip of your head to the tip of your toes, always be ready to say, hey, I'm willing to listen. It says, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. The Bible's very clear. And then in verse number 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that ye may that he may exalt you in due time. Now, what he does is he says over here that we're to submit one to another in verse number 5, and we're to be clothed with humility. And he explains how God feels about those who are not willing to submit to humility. And verse number 6 is, this is how you submit to humility. This is how you get to that point. This is how to get to that thing that you don't like to do. I don't think there's anybody in here that could raise your hand and say, oh, I love to be humble. I love to admit I'm wrong. Because it's against human nature. None of us do. Now, how do we achieve it? Verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. You know how we're going to get it done? First and foremost, what we're going to do is we're going to submit to God. We're going to submit to what God says. We're going to submit to what God's Word says. That is the key. You know why the devil wants to keep you out of your Bible? You know why the devil keeps you distracted? You know why the devil wants to keep you out of church? Because he knows that the key of your humility, The key of you being humbled, the key of you getting great things accomplished, is putting yourself under the mighty hand of God. And you know, as I read that mighty hand of God, you know, that kind of puts me in the mind of, sometimes I'm going to get a whooping. Because what God is going to do in order to help me be humble, in order to help me in the furthering of the gospel, in order to help me be the kind of sheep that I need to be and the kind of leader that I need to be, what it's going to take is going to take the mighty hand of God coming down on me a few times to let me know, hey, I'm here. And this is what you're supposed to do. But it says, the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Service to the Lord, sometimes, as I was telling you, you feel very unwanted, very alone. Sometimes you think, well, I deserve better than this. You know, when a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker or a Christian says, I deserve better than this, or they think that in their mind, you may not say it in your mouth because that really doesn't sound good, but you think in your mind, well, I deserve better than this. You know what winds up happening? You quit. You quit. You know, there's some of you, at some point in your service to the Lord, you've served and you've served and you've served and you've served, and it's been a thankless job. And you look at it and you think, wow, you know, nobody really cares. Does anybody really care? And I'll tell you what, folks, bus ministry is probably the number one thankless job in a church. Because if you're expecting the children that are lost that get on that bus to say thank you, now where they do say thank you and they don't realize they do it, is when they tell you they love you. When they get on that bus and they're happy to see you. But you know what's going to happen within inside the church is going to be a thankless job. And you're going to get on that bus Sunday after Sunday and you're going to think, man, I would rather go out to eat with my family today than I would drive this bus. If somebody would just give me a break so I can have one Sunday off. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I've experienced it. I experienced it as a child where family vacations were canceled because no one could drive the bus. You know, that bothered me as a child. But you know what that showed me? My father's love for God and for those children and making sure they got to church. Or a family vacation being cut short because no one was willing to drive the bus. Well, I thank God. It was a good testimony. And so what we need to do is we need to be patient because the Bible says that he may exalt you in due time. God will give you the award when he sees that you need it. And then he goes on, he switches gears here. He says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. How do you get over the unthankfulness that you feel from other people? Well, the Bible says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. What you got to do is you got to turn to God. And you got to say, okay, God, you know, here I am. And then it says, he gives a couple warnings here, and we're almost done. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know what he's talking about here? Be careful on how you serve and where your heart is when you're serving. He says, be sober. Be attentive. Be watching. Who you watching? Who you looking out for? The devil. Those things that you get in and you think, you know, I'm upset I'm not coming back next week because nobody thanked me for what I did. No. Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Stay close to God. Don't depart. Stay close. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, all root of everything evil is the devil. We need to watch that adversary. Because he comes to us, and the reason it says watch, because as we've talked about before, he doesn't come to you in a red outfit and a pitchfork. He comes to you as an angel of light. And that might come from a brother in the Lord that comes up and puts his arm around you and says, "Oh, brother, they don't really like you, and they're mistreating you, and you deserve better." You know what you need to do? You need to look at that person and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is looking for any place in your life to get in, and when he does, he will devour you, he will chew you up, and he will spit you out. His goal is destruction, no matter how harmless he makes the circumstances look or how innocent he makes the circumstances look. You say, well, how do I know the difference? Be vigilant. Get in the Word of God, stay in the Word of God, and watch out. And then verse number 9, and we'll stop there. Whom resisteth steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse number 10. But the God of all grace, whom hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settled you. Now, again, for the sake of time, I'll wrap this one up. You know what that means? God understands. God understands. God's got you covered. God's got your back. And what you've got to do is, and what you need to make sure is that you trust the Lord, because you know what God's goal and desire. Also, in those scriptures, what it's teaching us here is that Jesus knows your suffering. He came, he suffered, he died. Everything that you feel, everything that you've suffered or will suffer here on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ has already done it. He knows how you feel. He knows what's going on. And so what we got to do is we got to trust in him. We've got to trust him. And he will give us the grace. It says, but the God of all grace. And he'll give us the grace that we need. And so, folks, I want to encourage you, as we move forward as a church, here real soon we're going to be having a teacher's meeting. You say, well, I don't know that I want to teach. Well, will you come and at least listen? And we're going to have a bus workers meeting. Well, I definitely, I don't have anything to do with that man route. I don't have anything to do with the bus route. Will you come and listen? And so we'll go ahead and pray and move to our next hour. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for those who brought to us today. Lord, I pray that the lesson this morning has been an encouragement to them. And Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we move forward as a church. Lord, that you will guide and direct in our heart and our life. And Father, I pray that you would help teachers to teach teachers and bus workers to teach bus workers. And Father, those who have visited, Lord, will teach those who need to go visit. And Father, I just pray your will to be done. Lord, help us as we move forward. In your name we pray. Amen.